And we thank you for being with us. I'm Damian Barling, along with Jason Ross and Ken Rudolph. Third and final hour here of The Lowdown. If you missed any part of this Super Bowl 51 recap, you can subscribe to The Lowdown podcast on iTunes. Never miss a single episode. You can also like us on Facebook to be kept up to date on everything going on with the three of us. We got our best and worst of the weekend coming up at 2:30. As always, we love to hear yours. A couple of being shared right now. Best, Kings upset over the Warriors. Worst, ESPN not showing any Kings highlights in the win.
I heard that.
It was all Warriors highlights and Curry's missed layups. Gary Gerald made me aware of that on social media. He wasn't pleased.
No, it was like a minute 25 of game recap and not one. Kings highlight.
Gotta understand, guys, the story, though. The story is the Warriors losing, not the Kings winning. It's always the Warriors losing. When a team like the Warriors lose or a team like the Cavs lose, it's a bigger deal that they lost than who won.
Okay, now, I hate to say that. That has been a standard for a long time, and you're right, and I've always hated that, because the job of media is to tell me the story of what happened in the game.
But the story is that they lost.
No. That's media framing it and telling me what's the important takeaway. When I feel like their job...
Isn't that what we do? Don't we brainwash people?
Well...
I thought I heard that. Sorry, that could be wrong.
No,
I
think there is something to that.
It's fake news.
But
the Warriors win is fake news.
But there is something to...
Didn't happen.
When you're doing the initial report on the game, isn't your job to tell me what happened in the game? Don't tell me how you think
the Warriors lost.
Don't tell me how you think it affects the Western Conference or affects the NBA championship hopes. What happened? The Kings beat the Warriors. Oh, how did that happen? The Warriors didn't just miss a bunch of shots.
Right.
The Kings made shots.
But they did.
I'm just saying. So I was just like, that's irresponsible journalism, and that's what that individual that you were referring to is talking about.
Well, that's Tex Nation, and also Gary Gerald tweeted that out. Like, come on, man, what are we doing here? Can't get a boogie turnaround or something here.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, and I know we're talking about the Super Bowl is different than this, but if the Falcons won, is it all Patriots miscues?
I think.
I know it's a different game.
It's different in the sense that we have to calculate how it ends.
Yeah.
Does it end does the blowout continue? Do we see a win over the Patriots like we saw a Falcons win over the Packers? That, I feel like, there are probably a lot of discussion about the Patriots in that sense. If the Patriots come back and the Falcons wind up winning, I think there's a lot of discussion in the Falcons camp, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, and again, I don't know. We're guessing and projecting, and that's part of what we do to fill this 3 hours where we sit here and talk with you guys every day. But Patriots lose on a blow. What happened? Oh my gosh! It's 5-6 months of it's Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the quarterback. I'm sure some idiot on some hot take morning show tweeted that. Oh, it's over. Like Jimmy Garoppolo, get him ready because the era. I saw Donovan. I don't like talking ill of players because they're obviously very established. But Donovan McNabb was on television today pimping the thought that he thinks Tom Brady should walk away right now. He should quit. He should go out on top. For what? Like what about what you saw? Now, I get why everybody said that with Peyton Manning because, well, what Peyton Manning looked like. It was like, hey, man, it worked.
Right.
Bye. It's a good time to do it. What about Tom Brady's 466 yards yesterday and 60-some-odd passes at 39 years old makes you believe he can come back with probably some magically retooled lineup with a whole bunch of players we've never heard of next year and do the exact same thing again? Why would you go out there and try to pimp your hot take of him retiring? I don't get that.
I don't either.
He's got to go out on top like Elway did. Man, get out of here. He could go out on top in 3 years.
And have more Super Bowls in between.
Exactly.
And he could also go out there at the age of 40, get cracked once, and be done. Father Time has never lost.
He's a vegan.
We're
going to find out who's stronger, vegans or Father Time. I'm going to be monitoring this matchup very closely.
But I can see what McNabb is saying.
My body hurts, and I don't even get hit for a living.
I can see what he's saying. Like, dude. You just won your fifth.
But why?
Like, you're going to go out there at the age of 40 and do this all over again. You had added motivation this year, whether you want to admit it or not. You're not going to have that motivation again next year.
They've never had that problem, though.
No, well, that's true. But
granted, they don't go back-to-back very often, I don't think.
No, I don't think that there's anything out of the ordinary of saying, you know what? Go ahead and just walk away. You're on top now. Go ahead. Go home. Like, if you come back and win next year, is it really going to add to what you've already done? It's just numbers at this point.
It creates distance.
It's just numbers.
It creates distance.
Between who?
Tom Brady and anybody else.
There's nobody who's still playing that's close to getting another Super Bowl. So, I mean, it's like, who's he?
Can we reiterate?
Yeah.
A point from Friday. Tom Brady, in your mind, can't pass Joe Montana under any circumstance.
What are we talking about?
Greatest quarterback of all time.
Never. It's not possible. It's impossible to do that. He can be, as I said on Twitter, he is the most successful quarterback.
The most accomplished. The most decorated.
You can call him that, too.
Most decorated is fair. I mean, that's
absolutely
a legit remark.
Absolutely.
But he can't be the best.
He's not the greatest. Too late. It's already been taken.
So no one can anyone be the greatest? Do they have to go 5-0?
No.
No interceptions?
Once that greatness has been established, that's like telling me that Floyd Mayweather Jr. is the greatest because he never lost a fight. Too late. Ali's already the greatest. Too late. Rocky Marciano already did that. It's too late. Do you know what I mean? Like, once the original has come through and established the mark of greatness, you can't come behind them and get twice as many cracks at it and then say you're great. You can't do that. That's like telling me that.
So who was the greatest before Michael Jordan? Because Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player to ever live.
I don't know if there was ever a distinction of the greatest basketball player before Michael Jordan came along. I don't think we ever had that category where someone said, that's the greatest basketball player. We had the greatest winner, Bill Russell, right? But he's probably not a better basketball player than Michael Jordan, but he's the greatest winner. Does that make sense? He's the most accomplished basketball player we've ever seen. I mean, you got to think about it. There are guys like Tommy Heinsohn. He's got 8 NBA championships. Right. Is he a better basketball player than Michael Jordan? Hell no. So when we get to this thing about numbers and how many trophies you have, people get all confused, and especially younger people, because they don't look at numbers and say, oh, that's the greatest. But you don't have context. How you won is important. How you did it is important. And granted, yesterday's comeback was fantastic and phenomenal. It also took you 63 passes. You also don't have a running game.
You punish him for the weirdest things.
Yeah.
Why is it bad that he doesn't have a weird? Doesn't it make it better that they're a one-dimension offense?
It would.
It's like, look, we're throwing the ball 60 times. Stop it.
Well, the game has changed. The game has changed.
And that's fair. That's totally fair.
But that's also context.
Which is like Dan Marino doesn't get enough credit for throwing for 5,000 yards in an era where quarterbacks did not throw for 5,000 yards.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome when he did it.
Yeah, we had a good debate on this last week. I thought what was interesting, again, back to social media, if you said Tom Brady, and you asked this question last week to a couple people, like, should this weekend, before the game was played, change his legacy? Right. And there were people that I saw, I think even somewhat, I would say definitely respected people that said, I didn't want to admit it, but yes, now he is the greatest of all time. And I went, yesterday did that? Why did that do that? Why was that?
And I think that's
maybe
pressure.
It's the 466 yards he threw for. Maybe it's the fact that they were down 28-3. Maybe it was the largest deficit in Super Bowl history. Maybe,
but just
seeing
that.
It again, seeing it on the biggest stage, maybe. And you know how it is. Also, we talk about this all the time. We talked about it the day after the national championship. People screaming, "That was the greatest game I ever saw."
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. That game was a toilet bowl. But it was a tremendous comeback and an incredible fourth quarter.
Right, which people he also remember, was not very good for about a little over a quarter and a half. He started to pick it up.
And the Falcons' defense was great. He was on his back. It was like, oh, that more than anything made me think, Falcons are going to win this game. They were laying Tom Brady out. When you look at those two games against the Giants, everyone talks about the Tyree catch and all that. Was it Mario Manningham on the sidelines?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
all
this crazy catch. Oh, that's... No one talks about the fact that Brady was on his back in both of those games. That's what the Giants did well. Wasn't those catches. It wasn't Eli Manning. It wasn't anything else. It was that the defense put Tom Brady on his back. And the Falcons established in that first half, they could put Brady on his back. They couldn't do it in the second half.
And that's because Brady has the best system in the history of professional sports. He has the best offensive system. He has the best defensive system. He has the best support system of any player in the world. They're the best combination ever in the history of sports. This is the best system in the history of sports. And because of that, he cannot be considered the greatest quarterback. I'm sorry.
I've tried to digest that argument the entire weekend.
I have more context for you.
Okay, give me more context. But let me throw this out for
please,
you.
Yes.
Real quick, just to counter.
Yes, sir.
Who was Montana's coach?
Bill Walsh.
For the first three?
Yeah.
Bill Walsh.
And who was it for the fourth?
George
Seifert.
Yes, sir.
Ran the same offense Bill Walsh ran.
I think they West still Coast. Had the same yeah. offense.
West Coast offense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. System quarterback.
Sort of.
Okay, how is it different?
Because at no time during Tom Brady's...
Also the greatest wide, and universally, this is not debated at all, the greatest wide receiver at all. I've never heard anybody's name mentioned except the guy who wore number 80.
You're absolutely right. Can I mention some names to you?
Sure.
Mike Wilson, Freddie Solomon.
Beach Boys? Oh.
Ever heard of these guys? Freddie Solomon?
I have.
Dwight Clark?
Yeah. Clark got a touchdown. Which point?
Those guys are not going to the Hall of Fame. You only know
neither
that
is Julian Edelman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the first ring. Second ring. Well, so sorry. First ring is still Ricky Patton. Second ring is Wendell Tyler, Earl Cooper.
Dude, none of this tops Chris freaking Hogan,
no,
who was a lacrosse player.
That's my point. They're all the same. It's not about topping.
Julian
they're
Edelman was a quarterback in college. So why can't you put
they're
at least put
players.
Brady on par?
But wait, we're not done yet. So that's
boy,
we'll start.
More.
If you think that's even, we'll go ahead and say that's even, right? That's a wash. We'll say, okay. Joe Montana has a cast of nobodies and he wins two rings. Tom Brady has a cast of nobodies and wins rings. Okay. At no point during the time of Tom Brady's tenure have the New England Patriots drafted a quarterback intentionally to take over for him.
I still don't get this line of your argument.
Hold on. The Niners felt like they had to get Steve Young because he was the best athlete out there. Joe Montana is still Joe Montana. Okay. They actually have a season in 88 where they split time as a starter. Until the bench or the locker room goes to Bill Walsh and says, dude, we can't function like this. You got to make one guy the starter and then leave him alone. So he chooses Joe because Joe's already got two rings. Joe goes on to win two more consecutive rings, right? He gets hurt. Tom Brady got hurt. But they were never, ever thinking about Matt Castle being the long-term replacement.
They were never, ever thinking about
Garoppolo or anybody being the long-term replacement. As soon as Joe got hurt, the Niners said, this is our chance. Steve Young is here. We got to play this guy. And they ship Joe out. Now, you mean to tell me that if Joe Montana stays there with that incredible offense that just ran up 55 points on the Denver Broncos, if he stays for 91, 92, 93, 94, are you telling me the Niners don't win at least two more championships?
But he didn't.
Because the organization, he didn't have the support. He had to go. And he took his magic with him to Kansas City. And
where they won how many Super Bowls? Two or three? Four.
You're so simplistic
Five.
Right now. You're showing that
How
you don't know
How many did
sports.
They win? Yes, I don't know sports.
Because
you're absolutely
is, because
correct.
Because contextually, you're out of line in this argument.
What I'm
I mean
just
by that,
here to make you look good,
no,
Mr.
What
Rudolph.
What I mean by that is, contextually, you don't understand that. If you have a support system that keeps you in one place with the same system and the same coach, and you guys are on the same page for 17 years.
Then if you're the greatest quarterback ever, you wouldn't have been shipped off to Kansas City for the other guy who turned out to be a pretty damn good Hall of Fame quarterback, who, by the way, Jason was playing in the same West Coast system that made you so successful with
and
Joe
only
Montana.
Got one ring. That fool had 6 years
so
with the best
all
team.
All we've established in the last 10 minutes is that the 49ers screwed up sending Joe Montana to Kansas City.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. That's the end of that. Scott, what do you got?
Are you guys going to be all right?
No.
No, we're not.
No, we're
I need
not.
Somebody
I think...
next to me that knows sports in the context of history.
Yes, because.
Can you help me, sir?
We know no sports.
Can you help me?
This is what ends the argument for me, and I think it's Joe Montana. He never lost.
Or
that's number one.
Or threw an interception. Or threw an interception.
Right. He never made a mistake in the Super Bowl. And the third thing is, you know, Montana played quite a while ago. How good do you think he could have been if 5 minutes after he just missed a receiver, he could sit down and look at a laptop or an iPad in live time at what went wrong? I believe back in that day they had still photos that they could look at, but that was really it.
I'm not sure if you saw Mr. Belichick's reaction to a tablet this year there, Scott, but I don't think he's in favor of those.
No, I'm talking about the coaching staff.
No, I know what you're saying, Scott. I know what you're saying. We appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Let's go to Dan. Dan, what do you got?
Hey, guys.
Hey. Hey, man.
What it all comes down to me, which I think it's Joe still, if you put Brady back in his era with Joe, if he has Jim Burt knocking him crazy, I just Joe Montana got his butt kicked every single game, and it was just all the different rules. Joe was just another guy out there, and they would knock the crap out of him. And I don't think Brady can handle that.
Thanks, Dan. We appreciate the call. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. Let's get one more, and then Jason's going to have to weigh in and on all this. Bobby, what's happening?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to say, Ken, you're making some very solidified points, buddy, because, I mean, this is such a hard topic to debate because, Damon, you make a good point as well. Quarterback is a totally different position in the game of football. But the context you're giving, Ken, is 100% true because – that's what's kind of going over everybody's heads here is, like, if you played high levels of football, it's so much that goes into quarterbacking a great organization. And Brady's support is by far the best. It is not even close. And it's like we sound like haters, but we're not. I mean, it's hard to say he's greater than Joe or Joe's greater than him, but at the same time, imagine if he did have that support and he did have the longevity with the rules. There's just so many variables to put into this argument. And I don't think you can even compare and contrast kind of just because of the errors, and it is such a different game. And, I mean, look at yesterday how just everything went in their way that had a ton to do with Brady, but Brady didn't even start really playing well, like you said, until he got up off of his back. I mean, he missed a bunch of throws yesterday. I mean, and he is one of the most clutch players ever. No one can take that from him. But it's just kind of hard to compare and contrast those guys because it was such a different game. The defenses, the schemes, everything that goes into the game planning. I mean, and today is just such a more calculated game, so much more studied. And everyone's forgetting Bill Belichick. The guy he has everything to do with their success as well. They are by far the best partnership ever in the game of football. And so it's a tough, tough argument. But you guys are doing a great job of breaking it down.
We appreciate you, Bobby. Thank you so much for the call here on the text line 44-1140. Montana never lost or cheated. He is the GOAT. Do people think Lance Armstrong is the greatest cyclist ever? Well, yes, I do. Lance Armstrong is the greatest cyclist ever because he's the best cheater ever in that sport, in a sport that is full of nothing but cheaters. But that's an entirely different discussion. And I'm totally fine. Huh?
Was Greg LeMond a cheater? Greg LeMond is our first.
Did Greg LeMond win seven?
He won two, I think. He's from Auburn area? Greg LeMond was from
Auburn. If he's not a cheater, he's a cheater that didn't get caught.
Excuse me.
When was the last time a Tour de France winner didn't get caught for cheating like a year or two or three or six later?
Well, I feel like this kind of happened with Armstrong because I don't remember them ever coming to Greg LeMond.
Well, probably because he won seven in a row. That was an entire era in which he was winning them.
Exactly. So. Maybe it was that facilitated that.
Yeah. You're far too quiet.
Well, because I've listened to so much of all of this, and I feel like you could pick apart on any angle on all of this. Our last caller said it, and a lot of people say this. Joe never lost the Super Bowl. So he doesn't get penalized for losing in the NFC Championship game for some reason. And I don't know. I don't know why. But Brady gets penalized for losing in the Super Bowl. But he got there. But
seven
then,
times?
Yeah. I mean, but I honestly think, do we even know that these are the two best quarterbacks of all time? Like, is this like now we're in the conversation, it's these two. Does it end there? I don't know that that's the case.
Who would you
we
like
value
to add?
Winning.
Who would you like to add?
So now we're talking about, but like
I'm saying we value
right,
winning.
That's where it goes.
Who would you like to add?
So let me do it how I always do this stuff. So if we have the pool of all the quarterbacks in the history of the game, and you're picking first, you might pick Joe, but would that be your pick? Present day, right now.
Absolutely.
You're picking Joe.
Absolutely.
Because of the stuff you said. But
of the intangibles he has inside.
Yeah.
Like he didn't have the strongest arm.
Of course not.
But
yeah.
Just everything about him inside is what I want. Absolutely.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting that it's such a I don't even know how we relate it, how we know that it's Montana or Brady, or there was a time people thought it was Manning or Dan Marino or Elway or Unitas, someone I didn't even see play. It's just like now we put so much value on Super Bowls, and that's the ultimate, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's an interesting one to even quantify, like why are we in here? So if this is the case and Tom Brady plays 3 more years and doesn't win another Super Bowl, to me it shouldn't hurt his legacy, but to others it would be like, well, wait, if people are saying today that he is the greatest of all time, there should be more Super Bowls coming if he's playing more, yeah. Right? And then if he doesn't, wait, I thought he was the greatest. And I wouldn't penalize him for that, but it's just funny that for some it changed yesterday, and I don't know why it would have changed. To me, if you're the greatest, you're the greatest 5 years ago,
yeah.
You're the greatest today, you're the greatest 3 years from now. Nothing else should change. But a comeback win,
but you
which was
can't establish yourself. Like if you can,
but I think the people that changed, I don't know why it changed yesterday.
So in your world, Ken,
yes, sir,
LeBron can't pass Jordan.
Nope. Sorry.
7 straight finals he's been to.
I get all that. That's fantastic. I like LeBron, but you just
is that right? 7. Seven straight,
not
or six?
Seven,
is it 6 straight finals?
Like but your point.
He's been to 7 track. It's 6 straight he's been to 7. Thank
your point
you.
Is made. But like I was saying before, once greatness has been established, you can't come behind it with more opportunities and say that you're better. That's like, this is what it's like to me. When someone said this to me and I was like, I'm going to punch you in the throat. That's like a news story that comes out and says that Mariah Carey has more number one singles than the Beatles, right? And that's true. But according to some people's logic, that means she's a better songwriter than the right. Beatles. I'm like, I'm going to punch you in the throat because that's ridiculous. It's called context. Context changes everything. And so when you think about things in historical context and what those numbers actually mean, then you can start to figure out, okay, where does this fall in the annals of history? And that's what I mean by like context is super important.
So LeBron gets to, let's say LeBron wins a couple of more, wins.
Yes, sir.
7 NBA finals, loses 4. That's 11 finals. He can't surpass Jordan in your mind with that number because Jordan was 6-0.
Yeah, the way they did
it. 11.
That's fine. He still, well, if you want to go with numbers, then you got to deal with Bill Russell. So he still has to pass those guys. Like, I don't even put him.
Sure, entirely different eras. And that goes back to the Montana,
yeah,
Brady, and really Dan Marino conversation.
Right. Or even a guy, I don't put him there, but if we start, like, I remember looking at playoff records. So Brady's now, I think, 25-9, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I think Montana was something in 7. He lost 7 times in the playoffs to get removed. But I want to say it was 17-7, 16-7. Great. But Bradshaw's a better winning percentage and 4 Super Bowls. I don't think he's the best.
He's not even close.
But we're kind of going down the, well, here he is. That's a better winning percentage in the playoffs, and he has 4 rings.
No, it's like when you have a tiebreaker, like when you have 2 teams that tie, and what do you go to the first tiebreaker? Head-to-head. Head-to-head, right? Then you go division, right? Then conference, then whatever. That's what this is. So you can start your conversation with how many rings do you have?
Right.
Okay, you need 4 to be in the conversation. Okay, he has 4, he has 4, he has 5. Then you start eliminating after that.
Yeah.
The first 2 Super Bowls, Terry Bradshaw did not throw for anything.
Okay.
The defense won those hands down. He was useless. The last 2, defense was getting older. He threw for 300 yards in both of them. So you start looking at, okay, what did you do in the games? Then you start looking at, you know, Brady's yardage, Montana's yardage, touchdowns, the interceptions. And then I went to game-winning drives. And nobody can match the 12-play, 93-yard drive from Joe Montana with 2 minutes and 8 seconds left on the side.
Whoa, what did we
Some
just have
good
yesterday?
Ones last
he
night.
He had 3.5 minutes.
From the 9?
3.5 minutes.
Okay. He trailed by a lot of points before that historic
comeback. He got one touchdown on that big drive.
Right.
Best and worst of the weekend coming up. We'll end it with coaches. Bill Belichick, before Tom Brady, 36-44.
Also, he was
Before Tom Brady, he was 36 and 44.
In New England?
No.
He started coaching. You're confusing context. You can't do that.
No, I can't. No, I'm not. I can say before Tom Brady. Before Tom Brady, Bill Belichick was 36-44.
He was in Cleveland.
Maybe they weren't Cleveland then.
Actually, that's pretty good if he was 36 and 44 in Cleveland.
That doesn't count.
Speaking of coaches, I really want to get this out. Jack Del Rio finished 4th in Coach of the Year voting, which is astonishing to me. I thought he should have won. Jason Garrett won. That great. I'm a Cowboy fan. Jack Del Rio deserved to be Coach of the Year. And finishing 4th, I find absolutely laughable. But congratulations to Khalil Mack, who was able to get Defensive Player of the Year. We'll come back with more the lowdown, including our thoughts on the NFL Hall of Fame and best and worst of the weekend next. It's 2:35, and Sierra Pacific Heating reminds you to stay warm and stay dry. Even without football season, call 800-551-3040 for all your home heating needs with Sierra Pacific. If you're listening in Sacramento or the Northern California area, drive safe, man. It's an ugly, ugly day, and my dear, close, personal friend, Laura Skurdy, said,
oh, yeah?
It's going to be ugly all week. She told me.
Wow.
Personally.
Okay.
Hey, man. I thought I asked you nicely last week to refrain from talking to my lovely Laura Skurdy.
It's a bond they just can't shake.
That's my Laura Skurdy.
I can't help it if Laura.
That is my Laura Skurdy.
I can't help it if Laura texts me the weather every morning. There's nothing
you
I can
do
about it.
You shut your dirty mouth. You are a liar.
A couple of other things to note as we really got caught up in that conversation there a few minutes ago. As you already know, Matt Ryan was the MVP. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Rain Dakota Prescott. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Joey Bosa. I think all of us had that one. We mentioned Khalil Mack. Comeback Player of the Year, Jordy Nelson. Coach of the Year, Jason Garrett, fine with that, but certainly thought it should have been Jack Del Rio. I didn't know there was an award for Assistant Coach of the Year. I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't recall that ever.
I don't recall it ever either, but Kyle Shanahan won it. So congratulations, San Francisco 49er fans. We're going to talk about you in about 10 minutes or so. Curious your thoughts on what you saw yesterday and how you feel with your coach moving forward. Congratulations also to Eli Manning and Larry Fitzgerald as they won the Walter Payton NFL Men of the Year Award. Best and worst of the weekend, gentlemen. Best was, and to me, take football out of the equation, it was on the hardwood, and it was in Boston. That's the radio call there from the Celtics Radio Network. Great moment, great job there by those guys laying out what was happening. The TV moment is much better because he checks in with 19.8 seconds, and those guys know to lay out and just see what happens. 19.8 seconds. The Celtics got the game pretty well in hand. Doc Rivers checks Paul Pierce back in, who started the game. They had decided he was going to start the day before. It lets him get the big ovation that we want Paul Chance go on throughout the whole game. I think he played like 5 minutes. Then he comes back in for those final 19 seconds. Isaiah Thomas meets him at half court, backs up, lets him get that shot. He was scoreless up until that point. He hits the three, and as you heard them describe there, he has not gone scoreless through his entire career in Boston. And I just his reaction to it, the crowd's reaction to him, I found it just That was a goosebump moment. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Really, really awesome. So.
And you're right. I saw it just to see it play out was so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. Boston fans are so good. They really are into, especially games. I've done a couple games in Boston. That's a different fan
base.
They're
very loyal.
Yeah. And they're really into the game. They know their players and just it's a really good building.
They're very loyal and they're very smart.
And you consider the things that he did there, not just on the court, but then actually what he had to endure off the court, and he came back so quickly. Remember, he had the attack where he was stabbed multiple times, and I want to say it was like six. It seemed like it was the same season he came back.
Yeah, I think it was like half.
Like half the season. And then he came back.
Yeah.
Like any fan base, especially a fan base that's that loyal, that understands how important it is.
People forget
that.
Before the big three was formed, before that deal where they thought they were going to get Oden or Durant, they got neither.
Mm-hmm.
They wound up, that's when they made the deal to get Ray Allen. They convinced Kevin Garnett to wait his no-trade clause to come pay Paul Pierce. Doc Rivers and Paul Pierce were essentially on their way out of Boston.
Right.
That was their that draft pick was their moment to get Durant or Oden and was going to turn everything around for them. And when they didn't, there was conversation before and there was a whole lot of conversation after that those guys were done. And obviously that's not what happened. Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett came in and they won the title that year. Just extraordinary.
And we talk a lot about coaches where they – how many opportunities they get. Well, he'd already been in Orlando. He had been in Boston. Like if that ended that way
– yeah. Probably,
I don't know. And he'd done some broadcasting. Maybe Doc's just a broadcaster.
Right, and he's a great broadcaster, by the way. Yeah, that definitely could have been it. You got a best of the weekend?
Well, I had that one down, too, but another one we kind of talked about. I enjoyed it so much on Friday night. We addressed it earlier. Sugar Hill Gang was so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. It was just, and it was the element of surprise. Sadly, I didn't know until I think Scott Moak announced it with about 2 minutes left in the first half coming up at halftime. Went, wait, how did we not know this?
And we don't know the reasons for that, and that could have been. But that certainly sounds like an act that the Kings might want to let us know about.
Yeah.
Not that they had any trouble selling out games, I'm sure the game. But it sure would have been nice, at least on our show, to be able to say, hey, the Sugar Hill Gang is going to be here tonight at the Golden 1 Center
they were fantastic
for halftime. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. It was, again, the element of surprise. It was like, wait, what?
That Sugar Hill Gang? Yeah, that group.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Because they did the Flashback Friday acts all last year.
Right.
But they haven't really done the acts this year. I think they did the En Vogue and then Sugar Hill Gang. I think those are the only two that they've done. We got another Friday game coming up.
You know me, I think everything is because of youth not knowing anything. So I was wondering if maybe the people in charge are thinking, yeah, they're an older Sugar Hill Gang.
Well, that's what Flashback Friday is, though.
No one's really going to care, are they?
Oh, man, that's crazy.
I'm wondering if that's what they were thinking
about. That's crazy. Yeah, Flashback, but that's what Flashback Friday is.
Right, exactly. That's what it's supposed to be all about. Like, hey, remember this? This is awesome. Get everybody excited for it. But I'm surprised that, yeah.
That's one we might have made a call, like, hey.
Can we get one of those guys on the
phone? Yeah, exactly. Come
on.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Oh, well.
You have any best you want to share before we...
Oh, my best is the Kings coming back on Saturday. After a heartbreaker on Friday night when you let the paper boy rip your heart out with a jump shot off the bank, off the glass.
I don't think he's old enough to have a paper route.
Yeah, oh, yeah, true. Well, his mom drives with him.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then coming back on Saturday and beating the best team in basketball right now. That was huge.
We'll come back. We got to share our worst of the weekend. And spoiler alert, it has to do with the NFL Hall of Fame. Plus, 49er fans, how you like me now? What do you think about Kyle Shanahan as your coach? We'll touch on that final segment next here on Sports 1140 KHDK. It's 2:48, and Sierra Pacific Heating reminds you to stay warm even without football season. Call 800-551-3040 for all your home heating needs with Sierra Pacific. Before we wrap up, worst of the weekend? Anybody?
I'll throw in, because people seem to care about this, and we addressed it last week, I thought the, and I generally don't care much about it, but it didn't move me at all, the commercials.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And I'm more into the – I know they were making some statements, and that's fine. Audi had a really good one with equal pay, and that was fine, and that's fine, and a lot of stuff like that. But I want some laughs, and
– I didn't laugh.
Exactly.
I got
it. I think I may have laughed at one thing, but I don't recall what it was.
I don't remember.
And Melissa McCarthy had a commercial that was supposed to be great, but her SNL –
Oh, that
her
was
5 minutes
incredible.
On SNL crushed any commercial.
You like that? You like that?
She was amazing on SNL.
Wonderful.
But yeah, so, I don't remember any commercials.
Nothing was fantastic.
I know there were some messages out there. Yeah, I don't remember anything.
Like, I felt like the Justin Bieber one was supposed to be funny, and I went, no.
I like the Mr. Clean one. I liked it. I didn't love it.
The premise was...
Mr. Clean's a little bit buffer. He got a little action from a housewife. I liked
it. Yeah, it was like a naughty Mr. Clean kind
of... Yeah, it was cool.
Hey,
it's like a 50 Shades of Mr. Clean.
Yeah, exactly.
I was a little confused. When did Spuds McKenzie pass?
Right?
Yeah, the ghost of Spuds.
Because I did not know that he passed.
Yeah. That commercial was fine, too. Okay, so...
But nothing was...
Last year, a baby is dead. This year, you just spring it upon us that Spuds McKenzie is dead.
Right?
Killing dogs.
Not cool.
Yeah, you could kill off a kid, man, but don't kill off a dog. Yeah,
everybody knows that.
Yeah. You never kill off a dog.
My worst would be a Hall of Fame.
Okay, thank you. Now let's get into that. All those in favor of Terrell Owens being a Hall of Famer, say aye.
Aye.
Yeah, man, come on. What the hell? Are you serious? 2 years in a row you're not going to let this man in?
What's their message they're trying to send?
Well, it's when we're going to find out? We're going to find out next year. Because Randy Moss is on the ballot next year.
Put them both in.
Randy Moss, but isn't that a thing? Like, you can't? Is that a thing that two players in the same position don't go in?
They're two running backs this year, Terrell Davis and LT.
Because they make a big deal. Oh, it's going to be so difficult for Terrell Owens to get in next year because Randy Moss is on the ballot. Well, you're going to have to make Randy Moss wait. And by the way, far more egregious than Randy Moss is Ray freaking Lewis. Now, I watched a number of NFL people and talk show hosts tap dance around this. Ray Lewis, is he going to be, punished for, off the field. It's like people are afraid to say Ray Lewis is connected very, very closely with the murder. We like to forget there were three people involved in a scuffle. Two of his friends with three other people. Two of those other people wound up dead. But we like to forget that and ignore it. We ignore the fact that he was on trial for double murder.
Yep.
But because he won the Super Bowl the next year, the very next season, and he starts talking about God, and he starts preaching, oh, he's such a motivational leader. We pretend, oh, that didn't happen. 2001 did not happen.
So are you saying they're going to ignore that and put him in first time?
That's what – you're keeping Terrell Owens out because he did crunches in his driveway, because he got on Jeff Garcia's nerves, because he called Donovan McNabb out for being soft and puking during the Super Bowl, a Super Bowl that he came back and played with a broken freaking leg?
Yeah.
But you got a guy – who you prop up on a pedestal as some motivational speaker who was on trial for double murder.
He turned his life around, Damien.
Oh, my God, man.
He
changed. You got to be freaking kidding me. So Aaron Hernandez goes, hey, man, starts giving these big motivational speeches. We're all good with that.
Redemption?
We're good.
Redemption story?
OJ's murder weapon never found. Murder weapon for that never found. What was the other thing they couldn't find? His suit. He had a white suit on, covered in blood. Never found it. So that's what he think he pleaded guilty to was obstruction of justice and then lying to the police the next day saying, "Oh, I wasn't there," but he was. Documented proof. He gets in the limousine. Said, "My life is over. My life is over. My career is over. It's all done." There's blood from the victims in the limousine. But we pretend like it doesn't happen, and I watched all these NFL people tap dance around. Not one person brought it up, but they brought up, he had issues, but, you know, is that going to affect him next year? But T.O. gets on his quarterback nerves, so we leave him out of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's not fair the way they're treating him, and especially the people that got in. Like, some of the others on the list, I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. But Jason Taylor?
That one surprised me. Like, first
really?
Time?
Are you serious? Come on, man. It's not best looking defensive end
right.
Hall of Fame because he's definitely in that category.
Yeah. Not Hall of Pretty Good.
Right.
Or Hall of Pretty.
Right. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, you're going to put that cat in?
Because he's first ballot Hall of Pretty.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Give him that.
Yeah, he's the Boris Kodjo of the NFL. But I'm like, what is that dude doing in the Hall of Fame? I'm like, excuse me? Ahead of this dude who's, I do believe, number two all time receiving yards?
Terrell Davis is, excuse
what,
five
me, years?
Terrell Davis. Yeah, hit, not an issue anymore. He's in.
Kurt Warner.
Yep. He's in. I'm
okay
fine
with that. Yeah.
I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine with both of those guys being in, but not at the expense of Terrell Owens, who is arguably the second best wide receiver in the history of the NFL.
Now, does the senior committee, like Kenny Easley, who I'm so happy that he got in, he was an outstanding strong safety. He's kind of the face. You know, back then, Seattle wasn't really all that. They were okay. It's him, Dave Craig, and Kurt Warner,
that
the
Kurt
running
Warner.
Back.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And so I was glad that they finally put him in. But does that count against? I guess you can only have eight is the max, right?
Is that what it is? Okay, that's the number.
And I thought eight was the max.
Well, how did you feel about?
I'm okay with the kicker,
Morton Anderson.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
All right.
Wasn't he the kicker for the Vikings?
Falcons for sure. Saints and Falcons for a long time.
Who was the kicker for the?
That's the other
Anderson.
Gary Anderson.
Gary Anderson was the one who hadn't missed a kick all year and then missed that one.
Yeah.
No, Morton Anderson was extremely consistent for a long time, so I'm okay with that. But I think that if next year he goes and he's left off of it, again, that's just – and I also think he should just stop commenting because we're going to do it for him.
Yeah.
Like, he's the kind of player that people are going to come to his defense and be like, what are you doing without putting him in? He should just not.
But that's not his personality. That's not his personality, but you're right. I get it. You let – people come to your defense, and it looks a whole lot better. Yeah, you let. And I don't think he said too much. I'm sure he's going to say
it was a joke and some other stuff.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he said the Hall of Fame was a joke.
Oh, I saw him tweet about a flawed process, but it is a flawed process. But this with the NFL really disappoints me because now I'm starting to look at it as baseball, and the Baseball Hall of Fame is a joke. It's not. There's nothing prestigious to me anymore about the Baseball Hall of Fame. I don't want to feel that way about the Football Hall of Fame. But if you're keeping Terrell Owens out because he didn't kiss the reporter's ass during his career, then we have an issue. And this is an issue. He belongs in.
Yep.
Was that your worst of the weekend?
I mentioned the commercials. Yeah, that is.
Oh, in the commercial. A couple of hits. The Buick commercial with Cam Newton, that was funny. Where I thought that was.
It was all right.
Yeah, it was all right.
That could have been a regular Tuesday commercial, though. That wasn't Super Bowl worthy.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really.
I don't know why it's funny with watching little kids getting beat up. I don't know why that is funny to me, but
the only thing that was funny when the kid's like, "I'm open." He's like,
"No, no, no."
And I didn't know if he was going to do it like Peyton Manning in the SNL skit where like he throws it literally at him and it's like, "Ow." But then he like threw it through him kind of and he catches it. Like, it's all right.
No, the SNL from Peyton Manning is great.
I'm sorry we didn't talk more about Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. I'd been holding that Ray Lewis thing in all morning, and
there's good news about the Kyle Shanahan thing. We've got a lot of time to talk about.
We will talk about Kyle Shanahan as the San Francisco 49ers head coach tomorrow. And I would imagine, you know, by the time we come in tomorrow, start the show at 12, that very well may be official. And we also plan to put a nice little bow. We'll package up the 2016-17 NFL season, put it in a box, wrap it up real nicely, talk about the favorite moments, different things we learned, and what we have to look forward to. All of that tomorrow, plus we will recap the Sacramento Kings and the Chicago Bulls. It is 2:57 in Sierra Pacific. Heating reminds you to stay warm, even without football season. Call 800-551-3040 for all of your home heating needs. with Sierra Pacific. For Jason, Ken, I'm Damien. We'll see you tomorrow.